Thanksgiving is not just a day in the year, but an attitude of the heart that every Christian should cultivate. But what does it mean to be truly thankful? Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In this broadcast, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, a sermon originally preached on Thanksgiving Day. As we listen, we learn of the wondrous grace of Christ, but also of how rare true gratitude is. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Dear congregation, on behalf of the ministers and our families and the consistory, we wish you and your family and your loved ones a blessed Thanksgiving Day. That you would have a true sense of genuine thanksgiving today. Thanksgiving that is exercised with a deep sense of our own unworthiness. Thanksgiving that takes refuge in the only great thanking high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. And thanksgiving that strives to return everything we've received, prosperity and adversity in the year gone by, to the triune God as our worthy giver. When we consider the past year, or you consider the present moment, there are many reasons for grave concern. Thanksgiving? When the world's in turmoil? Yes, thanksgiving needed all the more. Thanksgiving is not something reserved for just good times. Thomas Goodwin said, "The blessings are sweetest that are won with prayers and worn with thanks in times of greatest need." Thanksgiving is a gift of God. Thanksgiving is something we are to do at all times, in all places, in all situations. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks for all things. No exceptions. Because we're always getting from God more than what we deserve. We deserve, you remember that lady who met me on the elevator? Told you that story, I think, a few times. We deserve nothing above ground, she said. We deserve death and hell. Everything above ground is God's mercy. And true thanksgiving, you see, is always experienced in that context. If we want to get beyond a superficial thanksgiving to a real thanksgiving, we must understand what we deserve. That's what motivated our forefathers in the very first Thanksgiving back in 1621. They had lost nearly 50% of the 103 pilgrims that had come on the bleak, wintry coast of present-day Massachusetts the winter before. When they survived, at least half of them survived, in grateful appreciation to God, the pilgrims, being led by Governor William Bradford, set aside a day for thanksgiving and feasting. Throughout the succeeding years, after we got established as a nation, various presidents have indicated various days. The first National Day of Thanksgiving was instituted in 1789 by George Washington. And then there was a woman by the name of Sarah who spent 30 years of her life trying to petition various presidents, senators, representatives, to institute a regular annual national Thanksgiving Day to Almighty God. Finally, she was so persistent that Abraham Lincoln gave in and decided that the United States of America, unlike almost every other nation in the world, would observe an annual Thanksgiving Day commencing in 1863. Canada followed our footsteps in 1879, but today very few nations in the world have this wonderful custom. Even teaching this week, it just so happened yesterday in the seminary, teaching a course on how to preach for special occasions, we came to Thanksgiving. And the students, most of them said, we don't know what this is. Our countries don't have such a thing. This is a good custom. It's a grateful day. A day that's also not rooted in pagan background, which is a relief and a blessing. A day in which we come in simplicity before God and thank Him not only for clothing and shelter and providing us with suitable employment and a rich harvest and means of income and sparing our lives and giving us food and drink and restoring health, but we come to thank Him above all for Himself and for His house of prayer and for the means of grace and for His salvation to unworthy sinners such as we are. Now it's altogether possible to have the form of Thanksgiving Day, to enjoy family, to go through all the outward rituals of an American Thanksgiving Day, but do it all superficially. And though it will be enjoyable to a certain degree, we can miss genuine, heartfelt Thanksgiving. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the difference between a superficial Thanksgiving Day and a genuine Thanksgiving Day. From the words I've read to you, Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'll read again only verses 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So our theme this morning is superficial versus true thankfulness. And I'm asking you the question this morning, are we truly or superficially thankful? And we'll look at two simple thoughts, the nine superficially thankful and the one truly thankful. The Lord Jesus and His disciples passed through Jezreel on His way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would lay down His life. And in that area, He entered a small village, Luke 17 tells us, where a group of people began to call out to Him from a distance. Actually, with a loud voice, from a distance, their call was a prayer. And boys and girls, you know who they are. They're a group of lepers. 10 lepers suffering from a dreadful disease that damages the skin and the flesh beneath the skin so that they had become disabled. Some of them, no doubt, had lost a lot of flesh. Maybe lost their ears or lost their nose, or some maybe lost parts of their arms because leprosy eats away skin and flesh. Perhaps some of them were on some kind of crutches. Others had heads on their, or bandages on their heads or other parts of their body, no doubt. And these lepers are standing at some distance from Jesus because the law said they cannot come close to people. They have to live in seclusion. They're unclean ceremonially. And so they cannot have contact with other people. What a sad life. What a sad condition. They are outcasts in every sense of the word. And these 10 lepers, living near this village in the valley of Jezreel, are all in the same condition. And they're all lonely. And they all have sought solace in each other's company. Sickness has driven them together. One of them is a Samaritan. The Jews would have nothing to do with Samaritans. Nothing. They hated them. But in this case, you see, the commonality of their sicknesses and their needs means that all controversies and quarrels are forgotten, and the Samaritan is joined with the 9 Jewish lepers. That's a very unusual thing. Under normal circumstances, the 9 Jews would never have lived with the Samaritan. But sickness, need, death tends to level all distinctions and differences. Now, these 10 had heard of Jesus. They heard of his miracles. They heard what he performed. And deep in their hearts, there was a bit of a hope that if Jesus would ever come by, that Jesus who they heard had healed lepers, that he might heal them as well. And suddenly, the day comes where they hear that Jesus is coming by, traveling south, passing their village. And then they see him. They see him afar off. And they talk excitedly with each other, no doubt. They do not disobediently break the law and run up to him, but they remain at a distance. And they bring their voices together. They come humbly. They come crying out. They come earnestly. They cry out loudly as one man, as a little hospital, as an emergency room full of need. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice they ask not only for his healing powers. They ask for mercy. It's a beautiful prayer. And notice, too, that they're not rude. They do go directly to Jesus, but they don't endanger his life with their leprosy. Verse 12 says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. There were men who felt their loathsome disease. They could not wait for Jesus to take up residence in a neighboring home. No, they have to go to him at once. As soon as they see him in the gates of their city, they cry out. What an example these 10 are for us. And don't you think that this is a prayer of faith? Are not all 10 of these lepers believing people? They certainly believe that Jesus is able to cure them. There's no doubt in their mind about that, it seems. They believe in his miraculous power. They appeal to him to show mercy. You understand there's lots of parallel situations here to us today as we celebrate Thanksgiving Day. We remember the good things God has given to us. We've already done that in prayer. Our daily life has been blessed. We have all kinds of good things that come our way, despite our fallen Adam, despite God saying, cursed is the ground for thy sake. We Americans in particular are bountifully blessed beyond so many nations in the world. And yet there's hunger and sickness and hundreds of diseases that seeks to ruin and destroy all around us and in the world. Leprosy, spiritual leprosy, penetrates our ranks as well. That terrible sickness, that seemingly incurable sickness that leaves the whole world filled with misery and pain and grief and distress and disappointment and loneliness. If the world had but eyes to see what it's missing, Now, there is all of this, of course, physically in the world, and much, much more. And all of this speaks of the wages of sin that have been generated in our deep fallen Adam. In fact, every one of us, whether we have any disease in our body now or any special need, we all have the germs of death in us. We're all dying. And none of us in ourselves have any right to live. Every day is a gift of God. By nature, we're spiritual lepers. By nature, we're totally unworthy. And that's what we have to realize. We have to cry out. Also on Thanksgiving Day, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. True thanksgiving never comes from being blinded to our own situation. True thanksgiving is always the fruit of knowing the reality of our own situation, knowing our own sinfulness, at least some of it. You see, how can you be thankful? How can you be thankful if you do not understand that you forfeited every blessing and deserve no good thing from God? If you think you deserve things, that's what most people do. They think they deserve things. You're not that grateful when you get them. Well, you thank people, but it's superficial. True thanksgiving, remember that, grows only in the soil of true humility. These lepers fly to Jesus right away. When we realize our spiritual leprosy, we fly to Jesus right away. We cry out earnestly, humbly, loudly, "Give me Jesus, else I die with this loathsome disease of sin." What about you this morning? Have you ever been here? Have you ever become a spiritual leper before God? Crying out to Him? Have you ever pleaded the blood of Jesus for your own soul? In reality, earnestly, have mercy on me. Have you ever clung to Him? Have you ever been one of those of whom the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force? Have you ever clung to Jesus and not let Him go and said with Jacob, "I will not let you go until you bless me"? Happily, Jesus loves to visit exiled lepers. Jesus comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He comes to save lost, despised, Samaritan lepers. That's who He is. That's what He loves to do. And so when Jesus hears their cry, first of all, that's a wonder. He hears them. He answers it. That's another wonder. He answers their cry. He says something rather strange. He says, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." Now, He had been bet by many lepers before this. To one, He said, "I will, I can heal you, be thou clean." Another, He actually came forward and touched his eyes, which is an amazing thing for Jesus to do, to touch a leper. But His power, you see, is greater even than the most incurable disease. Jesus shows here, again, His great diversity in His manner of healing. He doesn't say what He said to others. But He says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." That's what the law prescribed. Leprosy was usually incurable. There were a few lepers, however, who became absolutely full of leprosy from head to toe. And scholars have said that there were times that they would go show themselves to a priest, that because the leprosy was full, the priest would declare them clean. So Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priests." But what can they show? They can only show their sick body. They can only show that leprosy is raging through them, but they're not healed. But you see, Jesus wants to show them that he's the priest, the great high priest. And he not only can pronounce them clean, but he can make them clean and pronounce them clean. Well, we don't know what thoughts were in their mind or what doubts and fears harassed them, but they did go. The amazing thing is that not one of the 10 asked any questions. Not one of them said, "If thou wilt cure us first, then we will go to the priest." Not one of them even said, "How can these things be?" Not one of them said, "If thou wilt not cure us, it's foolish to go to the priest, for they'll only send us into seclusion again." No, the Bible says they went. You know, the Bible is always, if anything, understating things. It doesn't exaggerate. It's a beautiful statement of simplicity, almost an understatement of simplicity. They went. This is amazing. They went. The lepers went to the priests. And then something more amazing happens. Luke says, and again, he says it very simply, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." What? Lepers? Cleansed? Luke, this is amazing what you write. Try to imagine what a great miracle this is. As they're going, they're cleansed. Suddenly one leper looks down at his arm and that hand that was half off or maybe his fingers were almost gone. And suddenly he's got fingers there and his hand, everything's normal. He looks at his body and his nose is back to normal. And it's amazing. He looks at his neighbor and he's back to normal. And looks the other way and they're all normal. And everything is incredible. They're all cleansed. Their hearts, don't you think, must have overflown with joy. All their bandages can come off. Their crutches can be thrown away. Their skin and flesh become whole. They can go back to their families, their jobs. They don't need seclusion anymore. They can come out of the prison house of leprosy. They're healthy. They're physically sound. It's impossible not to be grateful. It's Thanksgiving Day. What a beautiful picture this is of the gospel plan of salvation. Jesus says, "Believe in me and live. Don't be foolish and say, 'But Lord, make me whole and then I'll believe.' Or forgive my sin and then I will love thee. Or give me a tender heart and then I will come." No, do as he commands you, my friend. He commands you to trust him while the spiritual leprosy of iniquity is still raging in you. Oh, that it would be said of you that you came to Jesus and that you obeyed him and you went and you were cleansed. You know, we deserve nothing. But the Lord still gave us abundance this past year. There's so many reasons to say when you look at what you received in this past year to compare it to what you deserve. This is incredible what God has given. Our circumstances in life may be very distressful. We may have much grief. We may have lost loved ones this past year. It may have been very painful, still painful. And yet, when you see what God has given, you have to be grateful. He's done so much good. There are so many blessings to count. You ever try to count all your blessings? It's incredible. You can't sit long enough. So all 10 lepers are thankful. You can't imagine any of them saying, I don't care that I'm healed. It makes no difference whether I'm sick or healthy. No, of course not. Here's 10 thankful, happy people. And yet there's only one of the 10. They're truly thankful. And how do I know that? Well, they're going to the priest and they're cleansed, which is what the Lord required of them. But one of them turns back. One of them thinks, I should do something else first. He goes back to the Lord Jesus. He has to thank the Lord Jesus in person. He has to glorify God. This man, the Samaritan, has seen something of God in Jesus. He's recognized Jesus as the one sent by the Father in whom divine powers are at work. His duty is the same duty as the other nine. He too has to go to the priest. But he realizes that there's a duty even above that duty. He thinks to himself, the Lord Jesus ordered me to go to the priest, but I am healed, and these new circumstances affect the prioritizing of my duties. I'm going to go back first to bear witness to the people, to glorify God, to fall down at the feet of Jesus, and so he returns. You see, it's a miracle to him that he's healed, but it's an even greater miracle to him that it's the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah that has had dealings with him. Such a great miracle that to me, a Samaritan, a stranger, a despised one among the Jewish people, healed, an object of the mercy of the God of Israel, an object of his love, and that the God of Israel is willing to heal him as well as the other nine. He, the outcast, he, the outsider, he, the Samaritan, is healed as well as the others. His healing is a great proof of God's willingness to be gracious to him. To the other nine, the gift of health was the most precious thing. Health is a very precious thing. And we can all be grateful if we've been healthy this year. But you see, the problem with the nine is now that they had their health back, they're content with that. But this man is not content with that. He's not content with the gift of healing. He needs to go back to the giver of the gift. The gift is important. Oh, sure, of course. But even more important is the one who gives him the gift. And so he goes back. He goes back and he thanks God with true and humble gratitude.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."